again. Xavier McKinney blocks down the sideline. He goes, finally knocked out of bounds inside the 25.
He looks like he's played the majority of the season injured. Like, he just hasn't been as dynamic, as threatening. And all the stuff that they have done over the course of the years where they motion him into the backfield and they're running him 6-7 times a game out of the backfield, that he's, you know, doing the reverses and the orbit sweeps and the jets, like all that stuff. It just feels like they're not doing that stuff at the same level and the kind of the same frequency that they've always done it. And so that's always a concern for me, because he just doesn't look like the Deebo Samuel we've all been such a huge, huge fans of.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was Mark Schlereth with on Deebo Samuel. And yeah, I mean, I think he's seeing, and what he said there was what all of us have seen as well with Deebo Samuel. One offensive touch, four targets, one catch. He had one drop that turned into the game-changing interception for the Packers. They returned it deep into Niners territory, quickly scored after that, and made it a 17-point lead. Game not officially over at that point, but it felt over, and then they quickly made it a 24-point lead, and then they ultimately win 38-10. It was bad news for Deebo Samuel and the 49ers there. That was Mark Schlereth. Last hour with us here on Willard and Dibs, but Mark, Randy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you. If you missed that conversation, available for you on the free Odyssey app. You can check it out on YouTube, everywhere you get your podcast as well. And we're going to ask Greg Cosell about Deebo Samuel as well. He's obviously straight up just, what does he see on the tape? And I'm curious to get his answer to the Deebo Samuel question. Obviously, Deebo has never been a guy that is great at, you know, route running and beating man coverage, but he's got to be seeing something that doesn't quite look like Deebo on tape, because there's no other explanation for what's happened to Deebo over the last like month or so.
Yeah, no question. Even again, as we talked about with poor blocking, Deebo just has not looked like himself, especially on those as Stink was talking about, you know, all those orbit motions and sweeps and stuff. Yep. That Deebo typically, he waits and he's patient, and then he cuts it upfield. It's like he can't get the corner. It's like you watch, you know, DBs and linebackers all flow over, and you're watching them catch up to him in a way that with Deebo, he would cut it back, he'd make something else happen, and it's not the same speed. It's not the same level, I don't know, of aggression, what it is, but it doesn't look the same, and I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's very clear that, you know, something's going on with Deebo. And it's tough because, you know, it's hard to judge a man, and because, you know, you see what Deebo, the media, no comment, he walks away. So we know that he's frustrated. So, you know, there's anger there, even though, you know, instead of taking the high road and talk to the media, give them what they want and walk away. But when you can't answer and when you don't want to stand up and be accountable, now you left it up to us to speculate. When you don't come out, and unfortunately sometimes say, you know what, just don't say nothing and it'll blow over. Sometimes that's good. They say, if you put a flame of fire, and it's going to, you flame a fire if you say certain things to make it flammable. But if you come out and say, hey, look, I got to do better. Hey, you know what? I can't drop those passes. Hey, I got to make an effort to, you know, concentrate more. Can't take my eye off the ball. Hey, you know what? I fell off. You know what? I'm looking and watching tape, and man, I'm looking and saying, hey, something's missing. I you know, I'm a train hard in offseason. Just give people what they want to hear and they will leave you alone. But when you don't do that, it causes for people to have to speculate and put words in your mouth and say things that may not be true. And so Deebo's got to be able to say, look, I got to answer these questions. And I know Cal Shanahan and the media relations person, they're like, hey, look, this is what they're saying. Hey, Deebo, you want to answer this? How you want to handle it? And maybe he's going to do it on a podcast. Maybe he's trying to drum up more people to come to his podcast and they can ask those questions. And maybe he's given a detailed answer on there. Don't know. But we do know is what we've seen. And what we've seen from Deebo in the last several years, it doesn't meet the eye test what we're getting now. And I think that's why people are frustrated. That's why we're all in here asking the questions, because what we've seen in the past is not what we've seen as the future of what we've seen this guy play. We haven't seen it.
Yeah. Right. And it's we talked about the philosophy that their offensive line coach and run game coordinator Chris Forster laid out in the offseason, that they value guys who have the ball in their hands because they can make things happen even when it's not perfectly blocked. okay, things haven't been perfectly blocked. Go make something happen. He hasn't quite done it. And that's a test of their philosophy. And I think that's every single game this season has been a test of that. And as we talked about, it's getting tested, and they might have to reevaluate that this offseason.
Yeah, probably should. Brian Baldinger on earlier today with Bonte and Shasky on the Morning Roast asked about Deebo Samuel. Here's what he had to say about his lack of involvement.
I mean, he's becoming more and more a gadget player than a receiver. And, you know, whether it's running him on a reverse or out of the backfield, that's where you kind of see his value. But if you're saying, okay, go beat Eric Stokes, you know, go beat Keyshawn Nixon, you know, in press man coverage, you don't see it. I mean, the quarterback can't wait that long. And then you're saying, okay, well, where's the man beaters? Green Bay wants to play a lot of man. For a while in that game they did. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, like the 49ers want to attack the middle of the field, and that's what the Packers are trying to take away. And that's why Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard and Evan Williams are all there. They wanted great safety play, and that's what they got in that game. But guys aren't separated. And I said weeks ago that they look like a slow team, and that's how they look. That's how they play. You don't see speed from this group right now.
That's Baldy earlier today with Bonte and Shasky on the Morning Roast. First of all, saying Debo's looking more and more like a gadget player than anything else, and he's always been involved in the gadget plays. You just also have had chunks in normal pitch and catch, and those chunks haven't happened, and the gadget plays aren't working anymore. And if none of that is working, then you have to ask yourself, what is Deebo Samuel bringing to your offense?
Yeah, and you look at Deebo, and so many of the ways that he would get it, even when Jimmy was the quarterback, he would just run a drag, or they would have that Yankee concept where they have a guy basically run a post, and then they would have Deebo run the crosser over the middle, and because their run game was so effective, and they would run play action, they'd be able to get linebackers to come down, and they'd be playing zone coverage, and they'd throw it right over the middle to Deebo over the top, and then he'd run it,
right,
you know, for
right,
another 5, 10, 15 yards, or take it for a touchdown. And because teams have thrown so much man coverage at him, because their run game has been so inconsistent, a lot of those staple concepts that, you know, get things going, they just haven't been there, and they haven't been nearly what they were.
What's working? When you guys are saying, hey, look, this is not working, Deebo's not. Well, what's working for you? Because I'm trying to figure out, you know, we've had some guys come on and talk about, hey, establish, just what you got to establish, try to establish something common that you can do and have some success and go back to it, something to hang your hat on. In you guys' opinion, what have you guys seen from this offense with any consistency that's been working?
Targeting George Kittle.
Yeah, George Kittle's been working. You can rely on that. Yeah, George Kittle in the end zone, throw it up to him, but you're right. It's something where even in theory, the stuff that you expect to work, you can't count on it because guys are not either executing their assignment or there's a penalty or something else, or the talent isn't what it once was. And yeah, I'm not sure there's one thing that you can totally count on with this offense other than, you know, maybe an out route, Juwan Jennings, especially on third downs. If you're running a blaze out, that's been pretty good for him.
The rare handoff to Jordan Mason has been working.
That's what I think that Kittle, you've got to say Kittle, of course, if you give him, the more you get him involved, you know what he can do. He's been great blocking. He's been consistent. But if you said, what's the other thing that's worked for me this year? If you said, what's been the most consistent? I think it's probably Brock and probably Mason. If you're talking about, if you look at Jordan Mason's stint as a starter when he came in and took over, go look and see what's been more consistent than Jordan Mason. Now, I know Kittle, let's just say, okay, Kittle, put him in his own box because what he brings, blocking, creating, all this. But if you look, to me, it's Brock and Mason, in my opinion.
No
That's
question.
Been probably the most consistent week in and week out.
And on the point with Mason and McCaffrey and all that, you look at and some of these advanced stats can be wrong, but you look at the rushing yards over expected, which is, okay, this was not a well-blocked play. What can you do with it? Mason was like second in the league in rushing yards over expected, right up there with Derrick Henry for the longest time. I think he's still fourth after basically not playing for 3 weeks. McCaffrey and Deebo are close to the bottom of that list, and that speaks to the fact that, okay, stuff's not being blocked well, but you can still make something out of it, and I think that's why we keep bringing this up.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really good points. And if the Niners are going to get anything done this year, they're definitely going to need Deebo Samuel to help get that done. But they're staring at a 5-6 record, and they're going on the road Sunday Night Football against maybe the team playing the best football in the NFL right now, them and the Detroit Lions, two teams playing the best football in the league at the moment. Going to be a huge, huge challenge for the Golden State Warriors. Okay, or pardon me, for the Niners. I'm thinking about the Golden State Warriors because we got Steve Kerr coming up at 5, and we got a little bit of news about Steph Curry. He has popped up on the injury report ahead of tomorrow's game against the Thunder. He is questionable with patella soreness in both his knees. So we'll ask Steve Kerr about that coming up at 5. But coming up next, Greg Cosell, NFL Films. He joins the show, and we'll ask him about Deebo Samuel and everything wrong with this 49er team right now. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibbs with Grandy, Lo'Neal, and Hutch. More coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.